Welcome into a condensed version of Titans Talk here on the week of October the 18th, 2023. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, filling in for JP Mundy, who is off on assignment with me. Head coach of the West Forsyth Titans, Kevin Wallace. How you doing, Kev? You doing good?
I'm doing well, Des. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Busy. This is a busy season for all of us here with the regular season winding down. We got 2 weeks left to go. Of course, West Forsyth survived a wild one last Friday, 50-42 winners over Davie County. That game had a lot to do with the say of what's going to happen in the conference going forward. You guys are taking on Reynolds Thursday night. The game has been moved up to Thursday night due to the potential of heavy rain on Friday. So if you haven't gotten that message and you're hearing this, Varsity will play on Thursday night. JV's playing Wednesday night, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
With the regular time. So
yeah, 6:30 and 7.
JV. Okay. Yeah. So definitely show up for that. They got Reynolds this week, and then the clash at the end of the season versus East Forsyth next week, and that game is in the Village as well. Your fast start proved to be a difference maker in the West Forsyth Davie matchup on Friday. When did you start asking for the ball first, and why?
It kind of started the COVID year, that spring COVID year. Our quarterback at the time was like, "Coach, why don't we change it up?" I was like, "Okay, let's go. Let's just take the ball if we get it." And kind of been doing it ever since. You know, when pregame, the refs always ask you what you're going to do, if you want to defer or whatever. And I was like, "We want the ball." And everyone looks at me twice, and I'm like, "Yeah, it happens." You know, I said, "I know you guys don't get it very often because usually everyone's deferring." So I'm like, "We really don't need the coin toss. We can just go ahead and pick sides and go if you want." But logistics,
I mean, I like it. To me, it shows kind of like aggressiveness on offense, where usually it's the normal play is we'll wait till the second half to get it, and then you're kind of playing this numbers game at the end of the first half. But if you can get the ball and you tell them you want the ball and you get it first and you score first, especially in high school football, it's like it sets the tone for me. Yeah. Like,
because I think out of the eight games, I think five of the eight games we've gone down and scored on the first possession, so we get a little bit of a good motivational factor going. And at the end of the day, with the analytics of everything, we're trying to get as many possessions as possible, either by getting the first one or stealing possessions later, turnover, stuff like that. And that's something that we keep track of, how many points per possession we are scoring on average and how many points per possession we're giving up. And it kind of gives you a general estimation of how many possessions you're going to need to beat a team. So it's one of the stats, the analytics that we really look into heavily.
with this day, I've been telling you about this Davie squad for a couple of weeks now, because I got a chance to call a game with them in it a couple of weeks ago. And my phone's going off. What were your thoughts on it now you've had a chance to see it up close and personal? Because to me, thinking back on all the offenses that I've called games for up to this point, they may have been the most sophisticated one that I've seen in terms of what they do in scheme.
They're like scheme. They're very, like I said that last week, very air raid based. And, they're not mind blowing on some of the stuff they're doing, but what they do very efficiently. They are on time delivering the ball, receivers, catching balls in spots. You could tell that they just practiced so many times and they're used to it. And they got some kids that made some plays. I mean, the one kid made a heck of a one-handed catch on a corner route.
Fully extended. I saw that. Great deal.
Right, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was a fun catch. And the quarterback just puts it in spots that, we had coverage. We're there. But he just puts it in spots that are very hard to defend and only gives their receivers opportunities to make plays. But you could just tell they're very efficient what they do. They practice it, and you could tell they've been doing it. They have a lot of snaps at those plays, at those throws, those runs, stuff like that, that they're just confident what they're doing. And I mean, no, don't take away their defense is no slouch either. Mm-hmm. And they're tough in the interior. They got some thick kids in the front three. Just at the end of the day, we made plays. We made enough plays in that game to pull out the win.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the Davie line, because that was the thing that me and Rod Funderburk noticed from the press box, like right before the game even started. the game that we were calling, we could see the size of the Davie line from there. It was like, man, they got some big boys right in the middle, too. And they were pushing the line back.
Yeah. Like, and this is the first time I've ever played Davie, but every one of our coaches have been here for a little while. Was like, this is a lot different Davie defense than what they've seen with size, execution, and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they got a lot of respect from our staff and stuff. So,
they're going to be a tough out. They're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. Of course, all of us are in the Western 4A, which is just like this gauntlet of all.
Murderer's Row.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the Triad, you've got Charlotte Mech, you've got the teams up in the mountains. So you got everything from Watauga to Grimsley to the CPC, and like the CPC might get in depending on what happens here over the next couple of weeks. I'm sitting here counting on my hands. I'm like, you guys, East Forsyth, Davie. Then you've got this pod in the middle of the division. It's like Reagan and Glenn
and Tabor
there.
And yeah, so like the projections, like this week was, I think, five teams getting in.
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. And whoever draws Davie, they're gonna have their work cut out for them. Whoever that first round matchup is, I feel like Central Piedmont teams are gonna play each other here in the first couple of rounds. That happened last year.
Gosh, and that happened with us in the Metro last year, and it. I hate that first round. I'd rather have the crossover. At least, like, it's just – I hate playing the same teams you've played already. It just it makes a different dynamic.
Yeah, it actually because I call for East Forsyth, and they played West Forsyth back-to-back weeks. They played in the regular season, and then they played them first round. And I think that second – when they played the playoff game, I think it was a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. They played on – I think it was rained on Friday or something. I can't remember. And then they played like Mount Tabor, like right after that. So like it was a CPC, and then by the time they found they got somebody that wasn't in the conference, it was somebody from Charlotte, I believe. They beat them, and then all of a sudden Huff, you're playing Huff, and it's like a different kind of thing that you're playing because you're not playing against conference over and over and over. So maybe when they finally split these classes back out again, that'll change some of this because I do remember
a little bit fewer in each level, hopefully. And
probably like a 7A, I would imagine, in terms of size of the school. So, I want to talk about your senior running back, Kamen Chaplin.
Yeah,
we were looking up his stats before we started, and you told me he's at 1,620 yards. I believe he's in the top 20 in the country, in rushing yards right now, right?
Yeah, and he's only played in seven games. He didn't play in the first game, so that's what's keeping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every week it's like Chaplin's got 240 yards or something on the ground, and he seems like the guy that it starts with your offense this season, or Wes. And Wes is known to keep offensive line no matter what's going on over there. They keep some guys on the offensive line. He's super talented, yeah. But it seems like his blockers are thriving in your scheme. Can you explain the offensive line, what they've had to learn this year as opposed to what they might have been doing previous years?
So I think that's like where some of my air raid background came into it, that we want to be simple. I mean, really looking at the stuff we do, overall, we only have about five run concepts with certain little tags on things. But so our kids get a lot of reps at what they're doing. So they're very confident in what they're seeing. So they get a lot of reps. So basically, and what's happening with us now, we're getting a lot of teams are in multiple fronts, three man, four man, a bare front, you know, so, but they've seen those reps and they're so used to all that stuff that we start drilling in February with them that to them, it's just, all right, hey guys, we're in a bare front. We know what we're doing to it. Boom, block down, wrap, whatever it is. And I think that's where, and then they're, all they have to worry about is their technique. You know, so it's kind of being very intuitive. They know what they got to do scheme wise. Now I just got to worry about my technique and execute my technique, which I think is part of like Davie's, like talking about Davie with their experience in it. And I think it really goes back to a lot of that air raid based concept that it's simple stuff. It's fewer plays, but it's repped a lot so many times that you just play instinctively. And you don't have to think about anything. So up front, I think they're getting that confidence in it. And they're starting to see how, all right, there's little nuances within the play that we can say, hey, now, hey, you don't always have to dig the guy out. You can rush him, wash him down. And we bounced some out this week, which was good by Kamen. I mean, he's a smart back. I mean, he sees stuff so quickly that, you know, he'll come to the sideline and be like, I'll be like, what'd you see? Well, this is, and he has like three different things. I'm like, okay. Just keep doing your thing, man.
just leave him alone.
Yeah. Sometimes the best coaching is not overcoaching. but yeah, he's explosive. I mean, he can go the distance anytime he touches the ball. You know, he has a phenomenal dead leg. that just has left a lot of people in their tracks and he could just pull away from. And I think he just has confidence in the O-line's going to get the job done and in the schemes. And it's worked out so far.
There's been some pretty good lead backs in the CPC this year. You know, you've got one,
Davey.
Played one, Summers, Michael Summers over at Davie County. I was impressed with him in terms of, he felt like he was their main only running back and they were running like no huddle, like literally the offensive line is running down the field with whoever has the ball. And as soon as the ball is on the ground, they're right there ready to snap. Like before the ref can even get the ball to where it's supposed to be, they're already lined up and you're like, and then they hand it to him again. It's like, over and over, and I'm like, how come this kid's not getting tired? So I was very impressed with him. You think that's the weight room effect paying off? You know, with that offensive line getting that push.
Yeah, I think, and then just the, I mean, coaching of it. You know, with leverage. You know, I mean, when I coach a line, it's always hands, hat, and feet leverage. You know, where you at on the guy, and you can win, and teach them how to win on blocks. So I mean, for them, I mean, it's. You know, they get up and they go and they try and wear you out. And, you know, a lot of times when you do stuff up tempo, you're looking for the defense to out gap themselves or not be set. And that's when you can really exploit teams with big plays because they're not where they're supposed to be or they're not used to, you know, sometimes, you know, and that, it's like the catch 22 of up tempo teams is. Up-tempo teams want you to go into a base defense, and defenses want to be able to be multiple, but you almost have to go into base defense because if not, you're making calls, kids switching, all this stuff, and it kind of causes some issues scheme-wise. So you just kind of try and, you know, take away what they do, coach the kids up through it, you know, and go from there with especially up-tempo stuff. But, you know, hats off. I mean, not only the kid at Davey running back-wise, but the kid at Reagan, you know, he can go the distance. He's special too. And then, you know, there's a lot. I mean, he's rolling through like three backs right now, you know. So there's some kids that are pretty special in this league.
And that's kind of the CPC's calling. Heavy run games that can travel, defenses that can travel, and it's multiple teams like that. Now, you guys have kind of gone through the past 2 weeks in rivalry games in terms of last week playing Davey, going across the river. Week before that, I believe you played Reagan, if I'm not mistaken. So how hard has it been to motivate your team after playing rivalry games in back-to-back weeks, and now you've got Reynolds coming in?
Our biggest thing is that, we said it Monday to our varsity guys was, you know, you can't look at the schedule. You can't look at the records. We got to handle our own business. Do I think we should win? Yes. You know, any coach going to the game thinks their team should win. But we kind of get a second shot. You know, I think our kids looked at the Reagan game and looked at records and was like, oh, it's going to be easy, blah, blah, blah. And I think a lot of them looked past that. Mm. So this is kind of like a redo of that week of hopefully – and we can learn – hopefully we did learn what we have to do, what we have to correct, how we got to practice to be able to come out with a win on Friday night. And that's what I've preached to them is like, you guys got a second shot at this. Let's see what you do now. Learn from what your mistakes were. Let's move forward, correct things on the film from the Davey game and go out there and play our best game on Thursday night. Sorry. So that's been the message to them is they got a second shot of, you know, being the expected, you know, the winner, right? You know, we're going to be expected to win and good teams do what they're expected to do. And they got to understand that, you know, pressure is a privilege. People put pressure on us to win and it's a privilege for them that people are counting us to be so good or so high or whatever. And they got to live up to those expectations because good teams stay even keel. They don't go up. They don't have ups and downs. They're not like a roller coaster. They're even keel good during good times and bad times. And you know, bad times, we're just looking to, hey, we're better than this. We can move forward. We'll come back. And good times, like, hey, we got to make sure we're handling our own business and not worrying about other things. So that's been the preach to them, you know, play at our standard and not at someone else's standard.
So West Forsyth at Reynolds. So at Deaton Thompson Stadium, Thursday, not Friday, 7 PM kickoff, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So they'll have that there. Now, you know, I've been joking with you all year, ever since we saw the schedule. I've been joking with you all year, like, you know what I want, coach? This is what I want. For last week of the season, Todd Willard standing on one sideline, Kevin Wallace standing on the other sideline, an East Forsyth team and a West Forsyth team battling for the CPC Conference Championship. And we've gone through the whole season, and there's been a lot of twists and turns and some things that have happened throughout the season. I didn't know if we were going to get it, but if everything goes well this week and you guys handle business at Reynolds and East take East is taking on Glenn, which is their rivalry game alongside you guys, there's the last 2 weeks of the season. If they take care of all that, then we'll actually get this next Friday. What does West need to do to effectively win versus Reynolds on Thursday in your mind? What are the one or two key things that your team needs to do?
I think we need to play with great tempo. I think, you know, they have some depth issues a little bit, but I think tempo we can and just do our base stuff. We need to execute our RPO game a little bit better, and I've said it for a while, our intermediate pass game needs to be a little bit more on time. And defensively, I think we really have to just line up and make plays. I think from the Davie game, we were right there to make plays. Now we got to make the plays. And then I think we'll be okay. I mean, they do a lot of stuff on offense, different formations and trick stuff. We got to be ready to align to some tricky formations and because they're going to try and catch us off guard with it and make plays. So we'll see. I think those are going to be big keys to the game on Thursday.
You know what? You just reminded me. Reynolds did do, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they did something the very first drive versus East last week on fourth down. It was either a fake punt or something. I can't remember what it was, but it came out of nowhere, and it was like on their own like 15-yard line or something like that. So nobody was expecting it. Yeah. I don't think they converted it, but the audacity.
They've done some, I call it polecat, which is an old air raid term, but like where they have the set, like kind of like how our extra, like a muddle huddle in the middle of the field, essentially. they've come out some too tight stuff. They come out spread. They've done muddle huddle, two different muddle huddles for extra points. So they're doing a lot. I mean, we're going to have to be able to align to the numbers. If there's three over there, we got to make sure we have three to four. If there's two over here, we got to make sure we have two to three and not get outflanked essentially defensively.
I remember what it was. They did a weird formation. That's what it was. They had like it was kind of like actually some team did it. I saw it again like this weekend. It was either a pro team or somebody did
this. Yeah, so it was they lined up. I know exactly what you're saying because it was like tackles out and
crazy. We were like, what are they doing? It was like it reminded me of the play in the playoffs last year, Dallas and San Francisco, the very last play where they basically had Zeke Elliott at center. He snapped it and it was like three dudes just ran through him and like ran a dive. It was kind of like that. But
the first time I ever saw that formation I've seen it was Johnny Roscoe at Northern Guilford used to run it all the time.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me at all.
They did that on the goal line and they had another like a muddle huddle.
But they did it like on like their own 20. Like it was like third or fourth down and like it was the center and the quarterback was in shotgun. They had like two linemen over, like far to the right with like a receiver or something over there. Then they had like the rest of them over to the left. There was a running back kind of over here someplace. And there was just this huge like just gap like on both sides of the center. And the East defense is just kind of looking at it like, what are we supposed to do? Are they going to shift back? Because that's what Rod was saying on the air. It's like, well, they're going to shift into regular formation. And they never shifted. And I saw the actual play work for a touchdown. I want to say it was a pro team that did it. I don't remember who it was. No, I think it was college.
There was a college team that lined up like it for an extra point this week. And I can't remember if it was Oregon or if it was Colorado, somebody.
It was somebody like that. Yeah. Because I do remember it was a quick throw. The way it was designed, it was almost like a screen pass was already sitting there because of where they were lined up. So they threw it straight to the tight end. I mean, the wide receiver. And all you do was just kind of slant in from like 2 yards out. It was really fancy. They probably could have just did it a regular way and did the same thing. But when I saw it, I was like, I just saw that Friday. I just saw somebody try that on Friday. Yeah.
So I mean, their offensive coordinator, Patrick Henry, man, he's an air raid guy through and through. And he's, he's done a lot of good things. I mean, I've never met him, but I know following him on social media and stuff for years and stuff like that. He's done a lot of innovative stuff, and you could kind of see the air raid stuff coming at times. And you're like,
I would say you two will get along just fine. Cause I interviewed him in the summer when he first got the gig and he was on the rundown with me and he's 26, might be 27 now. He might be the youngest coach? And
oh, Joe Dvorak, the head coach.
Yeah.
Well, here's the crazy story is that I recruited Joe to Greensboro College when I was coaching there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I've known him for a while. He's from Toms River, New Jersey. He's from about 20, 30 minutes north of where I'm from originally.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, okay. Yeah, so I can see this now. Yeah.
Yeah. His high school head coach had gone to college with my wife at Greensboro, and he had coached there and then went back to Toms River for a year, was coaching there. And then he wanted to bring Joe down. And then Joe came down here, and then he was working at Southeast Guilford with Kennedy Tinsley, and then went down to Mallard Creek with Kennedy, and then came back up with this job. So,
yeah, that's a pretty good resume to compile over what, a couple years.
Yeah, pretty much. And,
he felt like the type when I was talking to him, kind of like when I spoke to you the first time. Once you took the West job, it's like, okay, he's gonna get that thing humming pretty soon. Now, I've always felt with Reynolds and Parkland, they're at a disadvantage. Not so much Parkland because their school's right down the way, but Reynolds is literally away game every game pretty much. Yeah, like their school's on the other side of the city. So like the sooner they can get their stadium built, I think that program will kind of hinge on that and turn it around that way. Yeah. I want to ask you some questions outside of high school.
Okay.
College and pro. In college, how much are you paying attention to what's going on with North Carolina and their football team? And do you think this is sustainable? They're, you know, top 10 ranked for the first time since 1997, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
so I'm starting to talk about college football playoffs with them. And I'm like, as a Carolina fan, I'm like, I don't like getting my hopes up like that on the football side. Every time I do, something bad happens, and I'm just kind of sitting back and waiting. But I watched them on Saturday night, and with them adding Tez Walker
finally in
the lineup, that kid is a problem. Like,
he's
a serious problem. What are your thoughts on the Tar Heels?
I watched most of the game Saturday night. They're just, it looks like they're playing very confidently and very, like, both sides are playing well. Where I think in the past it's always been like up, down, one side or the other, you know, it's always been, but they look like a very complete team. And just like they look confident out there with how they're playing. Like they're used to it. They've done it. You know, Drake, I mean, May's a heck of a quarterback, can run, throw, do it all. But you know, it just, I think they have, this is probably the best, most overall well-rounded team, I would say. You know, and it just, they just got to win out. I mean, that's the hardest thing. You know, I think they can.
Their last 3 weeks are, it's like Duke, at Clemson, and NC State, I believe. So,
so they got the two rivalries and then the way at Clemson, which is.
I don't even know how to, what to call Clemson this year. Like, they don't feel like they're Clemson. Like, they, I don't know, something. And I think a lot of it's Dabo just doesn't want to go in the transfer portal. Like, he's going to have to make a decision about that here eventually, or Clemson's gonna get left behind. Like, teams are getting built in like 12 months. Like, I'm for portal now, and he's all like, no, I don't want to do it, that's the wrong way. And that's why you got two losses right now, Dabo. But over in the pros, which team are you watching right now offensively that you're enjoying watching, that maybe you didn't expect to enjoy? Because there's a couple of surprise teams right now that are out there that people are like, whoa, like, what's going on here? Like,
and I'll be honest, I don't really watch much NFL until the season's over. I like the NFL when I can watch it, but I don't. I mean, usually their game times are just coincide when we have meetings, they're all over the place.
That's fair.
You know, I'm a Dolphins fan, so I love watching the Dolphins. I watch some of it.
Dude. you are having, like, probably the funnest time. I remember those days when we would have fun times on Sunday playing football. The Panthers were just happy we didn't give up 65 points to Miami on it. They tried. tried. But what about Tyreek Hill? Because – I think dude should be an MVP candidate. Like,
holy moly.
You could just throw it to him in the middle of the field, 20 yards out, and if there's no one within 5 yards of him when he catches it, it's barbecue chicken. He's going to run past – like, your team's in front of him already. He's going to run past you and then separate from you as he's running away. I've never seen it before.
So we had the game up on Sunday before our meeting started, and we're watching. And, like – I guess it would have been the second touchdown they scored. But, I mean, like, he's wide open, and he throws it backside to Waddle, who's, like, behind. And we're, like, sitting there. He's, like, opening the flat. It's, like, a little three-yard play. I think they're on a three or five or something.
Yeah.
And so all of us are sitting there like, oh, Tyreek Hill. We're like, whoa, where's he throwing to? And we're like, oh, okay, Waddle is open too. But that was that was a lot harder than need be.
They're so fast.
They're playing well. I think they got a lot of swagger that they like. You know, everyone made fun of the head coach for a while. They still make fun of him, but you know, I think he's an asshole. He puts them in some good positions, and they really don't. If you go back and really dissect, and I looked at some of this the other day, I got on watching something. You know, it's a lot of similar concepts. They just do it at a bunch of formations.
Yeah, yeah, they shift a lot.
Yeah, and then that, you mean, when you mix in Waddle and Tyreek Hill and stuff like that, that you got different dudes that can just go. I mean, that's it makes the difference. But, you know, it's similar concepts, but just in different looks, 2x2, quads, 3x1, whatever, pro, you know, all different looks. And it makes it hard for defenses to defend all that.
We were just talking. We did the Believe in Panthers podcast earlier today, me and Jonathan Stewart and Skylar Callahan from Sports Illustrated. And we were talking about that reviewing the Miami game where – it was like just simple things like that, like because the Panthers aren't doing that right now. And hopefully they will, because they just have Thomas Brown take over the playbook calling, which I think is fantastic. But they don't do a whole lot of shifting, a lot of motion with pre-snap, that kind of thing, other than just to see if it's man or zone, it feels like. They might move one dude just to kind of see, for Bryce's sake, like, okay, this is a zone, this is man-to-man. But they don't do a lot of multiple things. They started to a little bit against Miami on Sunday, but I'm hoping it kind of opens the floodgates because Thomas Brown comes from the Sean McVay tree.
Yeah.
You know, like there should be no reason that we're not doing some of this stuff right now. But it is what it is. Panthers are 0-6. I'm on a bye for them going forward, although I think we still got to talk about them next week. But it's been so hard talking about this team for 4 years. and the reign of terror from Matt Rhule, and then now you all hype and excited about the new coaching staff coming in, and they haven't won a game yet, and you're the only winless team in the NFL. It's just like it hurts. Meanwhile, Wes Forsythe, did you think this was going to be this quick coming in and taking over the roster? You know, I'm sure there was some turnover, although it didn't seem like there was a lot of turnover with your roster.
Not much. Not much. I thought we had the potential to be good. I really did. I just didn't know how good. You know, and it was, you know, gauging what came in was kind of hard because he was out a lot of the summer and stuff like that. So you just weren't sure. But, you know, someone asked me that the other day. Like, I didn't expect – this good right away. I will say that. I thought we'd be good, but I didn't know how good. But it's been a good ride, and you know, we're still going, and we're gonna see how far this can go and how far we can ride these guys. And you know, I think, you know, going into playoff time, if you have an O-line and you can run the ball, it can cause a lot of issues, and it gives you a chance to go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, because this weather is going to change with a quickness. I know everybody's enjoying the fall weather. It's 60-something degrees outside today. But a month from now, it's going to be
– it's going to be different.
It's gonna be horrible. So if you can run the ball and you can control the clock, you can get pretty far. And as much as I was talking about earlier about the Western region and for 4A being so stacked, the good thing is you don't have to play all those teams. Like, correct. Just by default, some of them are getting knocked out by each other early. You're going to have some upsets. But – there's some squads. Usually it's Charlotte versus the Triad, and that's the kind of narrative that's out there on social media, where Charlotte's always beating their chest or whatnot. But last year, Grimsley represented the West coming out of here, and we've all heard everything that's going on with New Bern or whatever, and them having to forfeit that title they won last year. And Charlotte didn't get that far. This year, it feels like the same thing where, of course, there's Weddington, there's Huff, there's Chambers. It's the usual suspects that are down there.
Correct.
All in the West 4A. But I feel like between West Forsythe, East Forsythe, Grimsley, there's some firepower up here, too. Watauga's sneaking around up in the mountains as well. And if you have to go up the hill to go play them, that's always a tough out. So there's a lot of possibilities. I'm not counting Davey out from having a deep run in that offense. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. And then you were saying before, there's possibility for five teams in the CPC. I imagine Reagan would be one of those. They probably had the toughest non-conference schedule out of all of y'all like, in terms of who they played, and had a lot of close games early on. They played Grimsley early on. I think they played Mooresville, lost at the very last second, failed 2-point conversion or something like that. So, and they've got talent too. Their record, when you look at it, you're thinking, oh, they're not that good. Nah, that's a really good, whatever, 3-5 team or whatever they are right now. They're better than their record suggests. So, your first year in the CPC, and of course, last year was the down year for the conference. This year, everybody's back kind of up. Even like Parkland and Reynolds are playing at a higher level than they're used to playing the past couple of years. So, welcome to the CPC, Coach. Congratulations. anything you want to get out there before we get out? And I'll give the game info again.
Nah, I'm just excited. Glad that we now know that we're going to play on Thursday because we've been toying around with it.
Yeah.
For the last 2 days. I was wondering that
too. Yeah.
So just at least now we can set, like, it's like yesterday, someone's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I can't set my practice schedule for tomorrow yet because I don't know what we're going to be looking like and what we got to get done if we're going to be on crunch practice schedule or what. So
now you can actually dig in and
get
the prep in and everything else. So should be a good one. Of course, two Forsyth County teams going at it. CPC action, 2 weeks left in the regular season. West Forsyth heading to Deaton Thompson Stadium to take on Reynolds. That's a 7 p.m. kickoff on Thursday, not Friday. There's rain coming in on Friday, so this game has been moved up a day to Thursday. So if you're hearing this and you're making plans to go see West Forsyth play, make sure you go on Thursday. If you go on Friday, you're going to be very disappointed. Ain't no one there. And then after that, then we can have this discussion after that, after whatever goes down on Thursday for both teams, because East moved their game up with Glenn to Thursday as well. We'll know by Friday like what we're looking at here, because if both of you guys went out, then next Friday becomes really special. And when East and West have those like games with something on the line, like end of the year type stuff, those are like standing room only type games. Like whether it's in Clemens or Kernersville, you got people lined up around the track and the atmosphere is all crazy. It's a playoff game, it feels like. So we haven't had one of those in a little while, so I'm very thankful that that Wes is back, that you guys have brought that back. Is that Perez wandering around back there behind you?
Yeah, he just walked out.
What's up, buddy?
How are you, man?
Good, man. Good, man. We'll be back at Mossy's next week, and I'll be a huge week. That'll be another rivalry week, so we'll see what we can plan and put together. JP will be back next week as well. So we'll go and get out of here. You've been listening to Titans Talk with West Forsyth head coach Kevin Wallace. I am Desmond Johnson, not JP Mundy. And we will see you next week.